everybody, and welcome here Friday, January 10th, Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that takes no stance on 2014 versus 2014. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
I take a stance. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's 2014, but...
It is totally 2014.
I'm calling it 2014.
Just to be different?
Yeah.
I think the more important question is, what do you call the decade of the 00s?
The teens?
The aughts?
No,
the aughts were the last ones.
Of the 00s.
Oh, 00s. Oh, yeah, the aughts then.
It's like the noughts, the 2000s, the... Yeah.
I like aughts.
They're the aughts, and then these are the teens, I guess you would say, even though technically not every year would be a teen.
See, I prefer noughts to aughts.
What? That's stupid.
Why?
You say 20-06 when you're pretending to be an old-timey person. You don't say 20-06.
Oh god, there's going to be a point where we say 20-06 when we actually are old-timey people.
Yeah. I remember, we're probably going to be, someone's going to be asking us about 9/11, and we're going to say it happened back in 20-01.
It took me years to get over the, like every time I was talking about the before 2000 to, like if something came out in 1996 and it was actually, 2008, I would say, oh yeah, it came out 4 years ago. I was like, wait a second, no, that doesn't make sense.
There's 10 years difference.
Ah. It's like time stopped back then.
I like even numbers. Like nice round numbers.
They said stop hammer time and they never said go. So it just...
They told me to collaborate and listen and then didn't give me any further instructions.
So you've been collaborating and listening for...
That's what this podcast is about. That's what all these podcasts are about. So yeah, it's 2014. For you guys, we haven't missed a week because we put the manga pod of the year podcast, and all the winners are up on nitrobeard.com now. I think I just added that post a couple of minutes ago before recording. So if you weren't able to get through that podcast, you now know that our manga of the year was Assassination Classroom.
Which we understand if you...
Yeah, that was a long podcast.
Yeah, that last one was really long.
Also, should we plug the game of the year stuff on Nitrobeard if you don't go there? There's lots of game of the year stuff if you like.
Yeah, it's game of the year week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a list, Mike has a list. Greg does not have a list.
You guys never invite me for any of the video game stuff. So
I typically said,
know.
Like, if anybody wants to, they can do it.
Your list would just be Steam cards.
Steam cards and Salty Bet.
These are my top 10 favorite.
I'm boycotting it just because, you know, you still have never invited me to be on the Beardcast.
I have too.
You never have, but it's mostly because you start recording it before I get home from work.
That's kind of like, you know. We can't wait for you to record.
Ryan has things that need sleep.
Baby things.
Anyway, Greg, yours would just be like top 10 games I like to leave idling to get cards out of them.
No, my thing is, if I wanted to do top 10 games, it would be a bunch of stuff from previous years because I have such an enormous backlog that's what I tend to play.
I saw you playing, what was it, single-player Counter-Strike the other day.
Yes,
what?
I beat single-player Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike Condition Zero.
Yes. You don't know about it because it's terrible and nobody plays it?
It does have multiplayer in it. It's just Counter-Strike.
Did you kill the terrorists? Or
I did kill
the
terrorists. There's challenges on every map.
Terrorist win. Alright, so do we have any New Year house cleaning to get through?
No.
I don't think so.
Let's speed through because we have a lot of manga to cover this week.
We have, two Beelzebub, 3 Nisekoi, maybe, a Bleach, 2 Ass Class, a Naruto, and a One Piece. So
Do we have 2 Beelzebub? Did we cover Back to Isayama?
Yes. The last chapter we had was when he finds
Nene's new stone. Okay.
Yeah.
Because then we recorded the last one early, so there was no Beelzebub out yet.
Okay.
And there is also a chapter of World Trigger, but I think we have enough right now, so.
Shit got real.
Good. Read it.
So speaking of shit getting real, in Beelzebub this week, as we mentioned, Furuichi did just discover a statue of Nene, like completely stone cold.
Yeah.
And then as he's trying to figure out what's going on, Tanamura shows up and grabs his wrist and then drags him along, telling him not to breathe the black fog.
Yeah, it'll turn you to stone.
And then now we're back at Oga,
First she gets turned to stone trying to protect Furuichi.
Well, yeah, the Black Fog, like, grabs her and pulls her away. And she has to push Furuichi out of the way, and she gets
Kanzaki
turned to stone.
And the Kanzaki's minion, whose name I've forgotten. That's not one of it. That's one of his Yakuza.
Oh, wait, that's right. Yeah, sorry. We have two Beals about it. Never mind. I was looking at the wrong chapter. Okay, I was very confused for a second there.
it's one of his dad's, like, Yakuza dudes. Basically, it's like a horror movie for a few minutes while Furuichi is trying to run around town, and then Kanzaki shows up in a car and tells them to go, go, go.
So a guy is standing in the middle of the street while Kanzaki is explaining that they're waiting for Oga and hoping Oga still has the crest, because that's their only way they're going to win.
Yeah, that is their only chance right now, is the guy lifting, which is not the case.
The guy lifts up his hand and cuts the car in two. And each side, one with Kanzaki and his person and the one with Furuichi, all speed off and crash on different sides of the street.
And Kanzaki's side turns to stone.
Yeah.
Then it cuts to Oga.
Yeah.
Who is hungry and decides to go downstairs to find out where the food is. And sees
his sister turned to stone.
And his mother also turned to stone.
Yeah, and then there's someone sitting on his couch drinking tea that tells him that people that have turned to stone won't respond to him. And that his
and their tea sucks.
Yes. Yes.
Tea and sucks. Oga surmises that this is Fuji.
And he says, yep.
That's me.
So he is a rather tall, blonde person with shaggy hair.
He looks like Evil Tojo.
Kinda, yeah. Like longer hair, though.
Yeah.
Do we know who the person who cut the car in half is?
No. I'm going to guess he's one of Fuji's dudes.
Yeah.
Okay,
we don't get back to him in the next chapter either.
Well, basically, we just know that he has subordinates at this point.
Yeah, that are doing bad.
A military copter flying over Oga's city notices that from a 10-mile radius around, say, Ishiyama, everyone is turned to stone. And then the copter itself gets grabbed and something happens.
Yeah.
We can't see the parachutes, so we don't know
they're
okay.
You know, oh, yes.
Well, we see someone sitting on a rooftop as it's being grabbed.
Yeah. So Fuji starts explaining that he's a recluse, and he came to confront Oga, but everyone was so loud that he had to do something about it.
Yeah, he's not used to people or something.
So he turned them all to stone.
Yes, and the panel that explains this is showing MK5, which is...
They were getting in, fighting stance, I guess.
They were probably, introducing themselves when they got hit.
Yeah, so that they could go and attack. That is a nice throwback to the, power establishment crew.
So Oga tries to throw a punch at Fuga.
He tries to do a Zabel blast at him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
doesn't work.
Yeah, it stops real short.
I enjoy the panel of him just, mid-air, fist a foot away from Fuji, really surprised that nothing happened.
And then Fuji punches him back through the kitchen and through several other houses.
Yeah. And it looks like this is a normal punch, demon-powered.
So as he's about to go finish off Oga, Nasu comes in and drop kicks him in the face.
Yeah.
Who I initially thought was Duran. I was like, that's weird. Why is he here?
I thought it was Aiba at first. Just that, because he goes by pretty quick in that panel. You don't get a good look at his face.
Yeah.
It isn't until right after that that you get a good look at him.
Yeah, then it's Nasu. Then Takamiya comes in and throws a car at Fuji.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he's riding the car down.
And he calls him, hey, senior, and says, hey, junior. I think it's a senpai kohai thing.
Yeah. And then Ringo and the old guy and not Oga also come in to get him out of the way.
And they save him and bring him with them. And they thought that he'd be coming back with Beelzebub he would be the one who saves them all.
Yeah, it's basically like a, oh, thank God Oga's back. Hey, where's Beelzebub? Shit. Moment.
So Takamiya and Nasu are still hanging out there trying to slow down Fuji.
Yeah.
Who is unfazed by all of this.
And they're like, yeah, we're only here so that Oga can retreat. And I actually really that panel because, just the one bead of sweat on Nasu is really effective.
He knows he's not going to win. And Takamiya slicking back his hair.
So Furuichi's still running from the fog when Kunaida shows up and, slashes the fog away from him.
She's dressed like a ninja now.
She's able to fight it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually... Huh, we do actually see the dude that cut the car in half walking in the middle of the fog.
Yeah, so presumably the fog's coming from him?
Yeah.
Or at least he's immune. And so Kuneda says that she brought the fog there for someone to fight. It turns out to be Agiel.
Yep, yeah. Well, the Pillar Squad, she's the only one that's shown there, but I'm going to guess that all of the Pillars are there.
Yeah, but Agiel, the best one. Yeah.
So, obviously this is something that the Demon Lord has taken interest in, or at least Behemoth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Behemoth and maybe N.
Yeah, N.
With everyone turned to stone, maybe it's ruined N's video games. So, he needs to put a stop to it.
Or it turned his handmaid to stone.
Yeah.
She was there too.
Yeah.
But yeah, shit got super real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of, not agreeing with it before, but the first one of those two chapters was and especially this one where it's bringing the pillars back in again and everything else like that. I'm like, yeah, this is almost feeling like an endgame at this point.
So something that excites me is apparently Agiel went to get, or Kuneda went to get Furichi for Agiel so the Pillar Squad could go all out. I'm hoping it's the return of the tissues.
Yeah. I could see that.
Why else would they need Furichi?
They might just be trying to save Furuichi.
Yeah, she might have been trying to save Furuichi, but bring the stone, but bring the fog to them, or something like that.
Oh, maybe that's what the it is.
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I thought she was just calling Furuichi an it. That didn't seem very weird to me.
That being said, in the last panel, it is Agiel who's carrying Furuichi. So
the only part I don't like about this is, I found the part of any superhero story where they lose their power momentarily, and have to earn it back, to be kind of boring and trite.
You mean this is the part where Oga is thrown into a pit and has to do sit-ups for a while and climb his way back out?
Or he has to, realize what his power meant to him and what he can do with it, and it's every fucking Spider-Man arc.
Yeah.
No, I think that this is going to be more he's going to have to go back to hell to get Beelzebub himself or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder if this is going to end with them having to abandon Ishiyama again. Him, Kuneda, and Furuichi just have to get the fuck out of there. Because
I think they spent too much time away for that to happen now.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm
for
surprised.
Oga, now it's personal since they went after his family.
I feel bad that Kanzaki got took out so fast. I guess he got Yamcha'd there of just even the strong people are getting turned to stone. Not just
I'm going to guess that once Kuneda and the Pillars handle this one guy, I think that it could release the stone people. It's not necessarily going to be Fuji that they have to take out.
Maybe, yeah, you're probably right.
So Fuji says he's a recluse that he's never been out before now. Who was fighting Tojo then?
Now could have been at the time that the demons were given out.
I guess.
Because he was in the school. Everyone else was aiming for him too.
Wait, you mean in the beginning? Wasn't wasn't it, what's his face? Pompadour?
Himikawa?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there
wasn't
was
he the one that beat up Tojo?
No, that was long after. I'm talking about
the tennis, remember before the tennis game, before they
when they
that.
First
oh,
met
yeah.
Nasu
okay.
and them,
yeah.
Tojo was fighting someone mysterious and it had to have been Fuji because everybody else was shown.
Maybe it was just one of Fuji's lackeys or something.
Maybe.
I'm sure they'll explain that. There's enough mystery surrounding that.
Because he got away unscathed.
Well, and we've also seen Tojo at Ishiyama, so.
Yeah.
So am I understanding right that, Ishiyama is safe, it's just the rest of the town that's been fogged over? Because they said there was a 10-mile
radius.
That seemed
to be the implication because it made it sound like some of the people had been hanging out there.
Yeah.
I could see, the headmaster there or a guy whose name I've forgotten but looks like Jekt. Checking the school.
Satome, I think.
Yeah.
Saotome. Yeah, so I'm very eager for the next chapter. Which I assume is just going to be an Agiel fight. So, hooray.
Yeah. So this is, like you said, it is kind of endgamey.
Yeah. Feels like it, at least.
That being said, it's pretty awesome.
It sold decently well. I saw the numbers come out for last month for manga sales, and it was number 10, which is pretty good.
I'm hoping this manga gets a boost from Oga being in that jump game, because I think it's the first one he's in.
Yeah.
He's a main character. He's on the box. So maybe it'll encourage people to read Beelzebub.
That says something if they're putting him on the box.
Yeah. I mean, Greta Chitoge is also on the box, and she's not actually in the game.
I was checking to see if there's any Beelzebub games, and all I'm getting is, like, Shin Megami Tensei, Persona 4.
Yeah, I don't think so. I feel like this is the first appearance, and the manga did, or the anime didn't do
it. It's hard to believe that there wouldn't be any, like, fighting games or something like that.
Well, this is it. This is the fighting game that they're in.
I mean, I don't find it that hard to believe there's no fighting game, really. It's Oga is far and away stronger than everyone else, so it'd be hard to make that work without it seeming kind of low budget.
So, like Naruto, there are plenty of people in Naruto fighting games that have no business fighting a lot of the other people.
I don't know. I feel like up until a certain point, Naruto, like, it was, they balanced it pretty well. Like, you could reasonably see situations where Choji would beat Naruto or Shikamaru would be, like, the strongest one. And then, like,
but then they would also have, you know, the previous generation included in them, too, and it just wouldn't happen.
Eh.
I mean, I could see, like, a DS, like, Beelzebub Fighter or something.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. I'm looking at Wikipedia and I can't find anything, so.
Don't think it was ever popular enough to get one.
Yeah, but them being on the box is a good sign.
Yeah. If it turns out that, like, Oga gets really popular from that, then that'll hopefully translate into more readership. Because this, like, you were telling me this week that this chapter is ranked really low.
That's number 3 from the bottom.
Yeah.
Right above it is Nisekoi.
It's roller coaster. I thought Bleach was after it.
Right above that is one of Nisekoi's chapters, but so I don't necessarily know where the ranking is placing it.
Oh.
Because the full color chapter is much towards the front.
Ugh. Ugh.
So anyway,
did you read that full color chapter, Imran?
I did. It was
amazing.
Did you, like,
it's
go watch,
just,
like,
holy crap.
Let's just skip through all three of these Nisekoi at once.
Okay, fuck wishes, fuck fan service.
The parrot was, like, the dumbest thing. Like,
oh, it's the stupidest thing in the world.
Early front runner for biggest contrivance.
I think this is the one we actually have to talk about, is that Marika gives him a parrot to parrot sit, and she
and
has
his
just
name
taught
is
it, like,
Raku-sama.
And it just, like, talks to her, like, oh, does it feel good when I touch you here? Oh, you're such a pervert, Kia. Like, very creepy stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it escapes.
And all of this
and
is
there's also, like, he has to say Raku-sama to it about everything, and all of the other gangsters are wondering if he's gone insane.
That's the funny part, is when he's just sitting in his room, it's like, why did he keep calling that bird Raku?
And
what's
then, because
him?
It was a bird that has come near Raku, it meets everyone that Raku has ever met.
You mean everybody in the town? Those five women?
Because, like, this didn't happen, like, no one knew this bird existed up until it met Raku.
And everyone just assumes that this bird, like, the things that it's saying are actually true for some reason.
Of course. And so they all get, you know, incredibly mad at him when it says those incredibly perverted things.
I love that this bird has credibility over Raku saying, like, what? No, she just taught it weird stuff. It's like, no, clearly the bird isn't lying to me.
Look, I've never met this bird before, but it has never wronged me.
The bird is not intelligent enough to lie.
And then eventually Marika pulls up and the bird flies into her arms.
Yes, and the command which is supposed to bring it back is him shouting out that he loves Marika.
And it was all a contrivance by Marika to get a recording of that.
Which is kind of hilarious.
So that's the end of that chapter.
Yeah, this is like the silliest, stupidest chapter ever, but that last page just kind of, I don't know, it actually made me laugh.
The next chapter is the Japanese tradition of at New Year's hanging a wish on a tree. And it's just one of those chapters that reinforces that Onodera is not actually a person outside of liking Raku. she like just exists for his benefit, I guess.
In his periphery.
She has no aspiration.
To, like, prop up his ego.
Yeah. So this big thing of, like, everybody's wishes and she can't decide on her wish and it just ends up being that she wishes whatever Raku wants comes true.
Well, for the entire chapter, it had been like, you know, I wish I could be his girlfriend.
Signed Onodera, which I think was a really dumb thing to...
Well, isn't the entire thing that it doesn't come true unless you sign it?
Really? Well, because she signs it anonymous in the end.
Oh.
And it comes true. So the gag at the end is that Raku ends up wishing that the animals would like him more, when Onodera assumed that it would be about her. So.
And he has, like, an animal harem at the end.
Yeah. Which is funny.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but then, like, the entire chapter is, you know, her trying to prevent him from seeing the one that she had written.
And then there's a disgusting full-color chapter full of nudity.
It's yeah, so bad that, like, the fan translators didn't pick it up.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's the entire chapter, the entire female cast is nude. Like, yeah. It is...
They're not only nude, they're, like, bending over in, like, really lascivious and, like, positions.
It's disturbing.
Yeah. And so
it
they
is
lose
the
clothes.
Hey, we have an anime coming out, and you want to watch it because this.
Buy these figures.
I enjoy
them. You can do this.
Fu is there for no reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they gotta set her up.
Anyway, they have their clothes, like, somewhere, and then a geyser shoots them over into the boys' side. So.
So rather than, like, say, hey, Rocco, we need that back.
Yeah, can you just leave so we can come over there and get the clothes?
And at one point, Onodera is standing buck-ass naked next to Raku, like, feet away.
Yeah.
And handing him soap. We all say the exact thing.
It was disturbing. It was just wrong. I'm actually kind of surprised that they went that far.
Yeah, like,
Remember when we first picked up this series and we were talking about how it was charming that they weren't resorting to stuff like that?
I mean, at this point, I don't feel like it's a choice so much as, like, okay, so have you guys ever read Fairy Tale?
Yeah, no. I know, I've been telling you.
Well, I've made it, like, I don't know, 20, 30 chapters, maybe.
So
I thought at one point it was, like, one of the best manga. Like, early on, the first two or three arcs were great. And then Mike has been showing me things from the recent chapters, and they're just, like, straight-up porn.
I investigated because, like, I kept seeing forums every week going, like, Fairy Tale, man, fuck this manga, I'm out. Like, I've been giving it the benefit of the doubt the last couple weeks, but holy crap, you know.
Like, they have a really strong, or who was once a very strong female character that very rarely resorted to straight-up fan service.
Yeah, she was, like, full armor. There was no, like...
And, like, the most recent chapters, she's been chained up butt-ass naked with, tentacles groping her body part.
Yeah, and the villain,
holy,
like,
crap.
Suggestions that this villain is raping her, like, hands going below and having her wince.
And she's not the only one. There are other female characters this is happening to simultaneously.
Yeah, and then, like, in Kenichi, which is another manga that hasn't been great for that, there's another female character that is just, like, chained up naked.
But,
like, I'm not even kidding, this is going along at the same time.
That's not so surprising with Kenichi, because she's been like that for years now. At some point, there was, like, Shigure was naked every issue.
But this is, I don't know, it's having them go on at the same time. Here, I'm getting you a picture, Greg, because I want a real-time reaction.
Like, I feel like fan service is becoming a bigger thing in Japan.
Wow!
Yeah, right?
Just,
yeah,
wow.
Like, that's not subtle.
There was worse ones, like... The last chapter before this.
So is this one Kenichi or Fairy Tale?
That's Fairy Tale.
Fairy Tale. That's the one that people compare to One Piece. That's what's going on in it now.
It was once
It
was once that good, and now you speculated that Shonen Sunday is, like, having ratings problems.
Just these, like, multiple manga having hot girls chained up arcs going on at the same time is a little eyebrow raising.
It's not just, it's just bad. Like, this is not what I want out of manga.
Yeah. It's sad.
And, like, what, especially disturbing about this Nisekoi thing is that pandering chapter is right next to this fairly cute wish chapter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad that Onodera has no life outside of Raku, but it's just sad for different reasons.
I'm finding that funny at this point that, like, she has virtually no aspiration to character of her. Like, that's becoming endearing at some point. But
I think that's the point. Like, they want readers to envision their own fantasy of a girl that has no aspirations except for them.
Oh, that girl you like? She secretly likes you so much that she's giving up her wish for you.
Yeah. And I think, like, that's part of the... Like, I was reading a thing about Japanese birth rates. They're saying that women are choosing careers over getting married and having kids because you can't do both.
Yeah.
So maybe this is like, yeah, but these women actually do want you. They don't want careers. Fuck that. If they have a career, it'll be like in tandem with you.
So you're saying that Nisekoi is complicit in the, you know, belief system which is leading to population decrease in Japan?
I wouldn't say, like, intentionally complicit, but I think, you know, it's trying to reinforce a culture. Like, it's trying to get women back into that, the other extreme doesn't make any sense.
It's patching up the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
So, should we move on to Bleach?
We're trying
to gun through these. Because I don't want to make any guesses for Nisekoi, because I'm really terrified at this rate. We're going to have Chitoge chained up in a dungeon getting raped by somebody.
Like, at least Nisekoi has not reached rape dungeon.
Yeah. So, there'll always be that. For now.
So, last time, Renji cut Master Mescaline in half.
And then 19
and
pages
later... And we all
later,
thought that he... fight was over.
So, I like this part, where... he tries to get James back together, and James just comes out as like 50 smaller
mouth.
James. Yeah.
And they all hop into a pouch that he's carrying.
And now he has a crowd cheering him on so he can reach maximum power. And basically
flexes his clothes off. It was funny. Like, I want to be mad at this chapter because this is everything that is wrong with Bleach in terms of just stretching fights out way too long.
But
everything in this chapter is amazing.
Well, at least this first part is amazing.
Yeah, I love James so much. So awesome. So Master Masculine gets his power up where his shirt rips off and he has star nipples and a star crotch and star chest hair.
And also his mask changes.
Into like a fiery loop.
And Renji's reaction face is just perfect.
So they just had the same back and forth about villainy like that they've been having this entire time. And then he punches Renji so hard that Renji can't even grab onto anything because he's still being punched by the gravitational force.
And then he starts gum-gum-gattling him.
Yeah.
From a mile distance.
And he has like an energy cape and creates a star of energy.
And starts flying around, makes star in the sky.
A giant star in the sky.
And then Renji takes out his new Bankai.
Or new sword
or something. We don't know exactly what.
That's this entire chapter.
It's
falling into the same rut that Bleach has been having of finishing blow versus finishing blow versus finishing blow.
Yeah, I mean, it is everything that's wrong with Bleach, but in this circumstance, this one's just kind of hilarious.
I do find it interesting that Renji has, like, this snake aura around him.
Does he?
Yeah, if you look at the last page, like, there's, like, a snake on his arm. It's like...
I thought that was just kind of his... Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that is neat.
It's got, like, nostrils. I think it's going to be a pretty cool sword, but yeah, not... I like Mask of Masculine, but yeah, this chapter was a little light on content.
I think they're dangerously close to making... or extending the joke too far.
The problem with Mask of Masculine is I read this and think, like, oh man, it's going to be hilarious in the anime. Wait a second.
Yeah. I mean, like,
poor
at this
Bleach.
Point... I just want something to happen in Bleach, and this is not the something. Like, it needs to make forward... This is just adding more things into the current status quo, and it's not actually making forward progress. Though I think the star nipples are hilarious.
Yeah, I like James. He's funny.
I like that they can't actually kill him. Like, it's impossible.
He just keeps turning
into a lot of smaller James.
I laughed so hard when it cut to like the pieces of him. I'm like, oh, the mouth's gonna talk, and then a small James came out of the mouth. I wasn't expecting that.
Like even the Renji reaction face is pretty good too.
Yeah, just I was entertained by this chapter. Like I know that I'm complicit in what makes Bleach terrible by being fine with that, but
it can be both entertaining and aggressively doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he had to try to make sure that nothing happened in this chapter.
Okay.
But yeah.
So next week, cool sword, probably not a lot else happens.
I bet he does a Bankai attack that really hurts Master Masculine, but does not kill him.
I bet he explains his new sword a bunch, then he does an attack and explains that a bunch. The end.
Yeah, and we won't see whether or not Master Masculine was taken out.
Or the new sword destroys James. Like, it eats him or something.
Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, Assassination Classroom, we got two.
Yep. So when we left it the previous time,
They had just found Takaoka.
Yeah.
The criminal mastermind Takaoka. Oh, who?
I'm trying to, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to remember where we were.
Yeah, he had just moved them up
to the helicopter pad.
Yeah, he had just thrown up all of the different explosive things.
He was holding one in his hand. Yeah.
He explains what his plan was to have Girl Nagisa and Koro-sensei.
To have the two of them bring it up.
Yeah, and then take Kayano and put her in a bathtub full of anti-sensei material with Koro-sensei and then cover it with cement.
Which is actually kind of ingenious.
Yeah, because Koro-sensei couldn't explode to get out of there without killing Girl Nagisa.
And he wouldn't do that, so the only thing he could do when his time was up would be to kill himself.
Yeah.
And everybody has, like, the same reaction of, this guy is fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that is completely nuts, but at the same time, as in terms of ways to kill the incredibly fast alien that can't be killed, terrible.
So, like, Koro-sensei is basically seething at this point.
Yeah, we get a small flashback of what drove Takaoka over the edge, is that he became a joke after failing that mission.
Like, everyone's laughing at him about, like...
There's this weird panel of, like, how he's, like, half-demon clawing at himself.
He's turning into Snake Kabuto.
Yeah. He went to the human bone forest.
He returned with plans for Nagisa.
Yeah, and so, like, that was the other reason that he wanted Nagisa to bring it up, was so that he'd be able to take his revenge.
Yeah, murder him, basically.
Yep.
That's the other thing he wants to do.
So Karma steps in the way and is like, yeah, I'll take care of this. Like, leave Nagisa out of it. But Takaoka does not want he doesn't want Terracotta or Karma. He wants to kill Nagisa.
Yeah, and he walks up onto the helicopter pad and tells Nagisa to come alone or he'll blow up the antidote.
The antidote, yeah. Which is attached to C4.
Yeah. And so then Nagisa heads up onto there and there's two knives sitting on there and, you know, Takaoka gets rid of the ladder and nobody else can climb up there.
I mean, they could, but it'd take a minute.
Yeah.
They're not that far off the ground.
Yeah,
basically, their only option from this point is that Kurosuma could straight up kill Takaoka.
He has a gun.
So. Yeah, but they don't want to murder anybody quite yet.
Yeah. Because, I mean, at this point, Takaoka is not a villain in the eyes of the government because he's trying
to...
Plus,
I mean, he has his hand on a detonator.
Yeah. So he tells Nagisa to, like, what is it, bow to him.
Yeah, he wants to, you know, he wants him to apologize.
And Nagisa does that. He apologizes for being a coward and using an attack that required no skill.
And he, like, stomps on Nagisa's head. Or puts his foot on his head, I guess.
Then he just very, you know, plainly, like, with no sarcasm, just says, I apologize for speaking to you like that. I am truly sorry.
And Takaoka looks happy. Like, you know, this is what I wanted. This is fine. Then he just, with a smile on his face, takes the antidote, tosses it in the air, and blows it up.
Yep. And then... He's super psyched. Nagisa is full of despair. Nagisa looks back at Terracotta, realizing what, you know, is going to happen to him.
Yeah, Terracotta is, like, fading.
Yeah. And then Nagisa snaps, grabs the knife, and says, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, like, very serious eyes, like, actual intent to kill.
Yeah, super awesome panel.
So I think, like, at this point, Takaoka's game plan is, even if Nagisa does somehow kill him, that's fine, because then he's going to go to jail for the rest of his life.
I think he just wants to corrupt Nagisa at this point.
I think he wants Nagisa to suffer somehow.
I think he wants him to suffer, period. But then, like, also, I think that the other thing is, he wants Nagisa to actually try to kill him and to lose. He wants to humiliate him.
Yeah.
The way that
I think any result that happens here, as long as Nagisa is trying to, like, seriously try to kill him, then that's fine with him.
So, luckily, we have the next chapter to talk about. Although it was like a 4-week break between them or whatever, but...
Yeah.
So, Koro-sensei says...
This afternoon.
The only person that can reach Nagisa is Terracotta.
Yeah. Terracotta throws his stun rod at him to get his attention.
You know, we've been pronouncing that wrong the entire time. It's actually Terasaka.
Terasaka? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
That guy.
Salt and pepper dude.
So, yeah, he tosses the stun gun at Nagisa's head. And says, like, don't worry about him.
Away.
He'll be fine.
He'll just take a nap and wake up just fine.
just don't kill this guy.
And then Kuro-sensei advises Nagisa to use the stun gun instead of the knife.
But he sort of leaves it up to him.
Yeah.
Like, you can kill him. It's not a good idea. But yeah. Just think about what matters more.
You will go to jail. These are facts. You know, yeah. It's your choice.
And then I like Tarasaka's, you know, do it, beat his ass just shy of killing him.
Yeah. After which he passes out.
Yeah. Yeah. So Nagisa picks up the stun gun and then puts it in his holster.
Yeah. Which he has a holster for some reason.
And then because takes off the jacket, oh. Revealing like a styling tank top.
Never mind, he threw it in the holster. Okay. I see now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He has his cool tank top underneath. Too bad he wasn't accidentally wearing the girl clothes underneath. Would have made this way less cool.
So girl Nagisa points out that he put the stun gun away. So
and he's bearing the knife.
Yeah.
So Takaoka says that he has 3 doses of the antidote. You know, they could save 3 people, and if they do, if anyone tries to interfere, he's gonna break them.
And he notices that the kids with the gun are like aiming at him too. And he claims that he'll just destroy them if they try to interfere.
Yeah. And he says that it takes a month to recreate the antidote.
By that point, everyone will be dead.
Yeah.
And anyway, Kuro-sensei asks Karasuma to, you know, kill him comes to that.
Yeah. I think like that's like the biggest part of the chatter, like Kuro-sensei saying, yeah, this guy might need to die.
Yeah, he's just shoot him in the head if you have to. Which I'm sure Karasuma could do it from that distance. Yeah.
Like, at this point, he's not solely worried about Nagisa killing a guy. He's more worried about Nagisa getting killed.
So, the interesting part of this is now, as the reader, we don't have to worry about Nagisa getting killed. I think we have to worry more about Nagisa killing him.
Yeah.
Because he is mad.
And, yeah, like, they're trying to say, like, this is different from, like, a battle and an assassination. Because the option now to just, like, kill him once and avoid a battle is over.
I'm not sure who's talking here, if it's just a narrator saying that, you know, it's different. And then Takaoka runs in and kicks Nagisa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, is just beating the crap out of him because he is not taking him seriously like last time.
I love how Takaoka looks now. He's got a very good villain look to him.
Did he suddenly become muscular, or was he, like, always kind of muscular?
He is more muscular than he was before, but he was always muscular.
Yeah, he was just kind of, like, stout.
Jolly muscular, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like, not ripped, but muscular. Now he's kind of ripped. I assume from scratching. You know, it's really good exercise.
So he's just beating the hell out of Nagisa, and Nagisa has no chance against him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he pulls out his knife and is going to, you know, threaten to start using it at this point.
I like the panel of him bending down to pick up the knife because he just looks so happy. Like, he's just like,
Hey, a knife.
So, yeah, he's going to cut off Nagisa's arms and legs and then keep them on himself as a memento at all times.
And, like, just torture him until he dies.
Yeah. Which Karasuma gets out his gun.
Yeah. Because he seems ready to aim. And I really like the fact that all the times that the manga draws someone aiming, they're aiming correctly.
Yeah, using 2 hands, looking down the sight.
Yeah, they're not just like, they don't have one hand out with like, all right, I can probably shoot this guy at 20 feet with a...
The Walking Dead TV show thing where people like, just kind of shoot guns like...
Yeah, they shoot zombies through the eyes with like one hand.
Yeah, and then I also love like the one-eyed character holds the sight up to his eye patch eye when he aims at one point in that series.
Like, I feel like this manga has done research at least to know that like the movie way is not the actual way a soldier would hold the gun.
So anyway, Tarasaka comes to and says, wait, don't.
Yeah, Karma wants to get in there. And Tarasaka's like, Karma, you've never been to practice, so you don't know. Nagisa has more to him than you would think.
And then we flash back to Lovro's training.
Yeah, which I remember, I think with this part actually we did see. Like, not the training part.
Yeah,
but
that he had, you know,
he had a technique to show Nagisa.
Yeah, Lovro pulled him aside and we didn't see the outcome of it.
Yeah.
So, we do see in a flashback panel of young Lovro, which
yes.
He's still pretty scary looking when he's younger.
But he has a secret technique as a hitman that will pretty much guarantee a victory but there's certain conditions that have to be met.
One, you must possess two weapons.
Like a stun gun and a knife.
And then two, the enemy must be very skilled.
Like a corporal in the army.
And three, the enemy must know the fear of being killed.
Like a corporal in the army.
Yes.
Well, I think more, I think it's less that and more, you know, the actual...
He knows that Nagisa could kill him.
Well, he is actually scared of Nagisa, I think is the thing. He doesn't admit it, but...
This last page is like, look at this art. Like, they have that picture of Nagisa looking crazy, and, like, the shirt makes a skull smiling pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like...
That's amazing.
Yeah. He's just got, like, the totally clear, focused eyes with, like...
And he just has this nice, peaceful smile.
He just says, good, they're all present. And he starts walking towards Takaoka. And he says, Takaoka-sensei, please become my guinea pig. Which is a really creepy thing to say.
And we're rooting for the sociopath in this.
Yeah. Well, they're both.
They're all sociopaths.
To be fair.
We're rooting for the kid who is on the path of becoming a, you know, serial killer.
I'm rooting for the one that the manga tells me is the good guy.
I seriously can't get over how great that, like they made his shirt look that way, that like a kind of generic pattern, just to make that skull thing work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not actually his shirt there. It's just a silhouette of a skull.
Right.
It is, but it's supposed to look like, it's supposed to, on first glance, look like his shirt.
It doesn't immediately strike you that something's different, and then you notice that it's like making a skull out of him.
Yeah. Like, it's just such fantastic imagery.
Yeah, very good art.
And I hate that this is where it ended this week.
Yeah, so in a few weeks we'll get our next chapter.
Except Greg.
Yeah, screw Greg. So yeah, I assume the next chapter, fighting, going to be pretty interesting.
I assume we'll see what this secret technique was. It has to do with the stun gun, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a misdirection thing.
Yeah.
Because you need to... Anywho, Naruto?
We'll
keep it going. Just pound through.
Keep on trucking.
So the thrust of this chapter is that we get to see the former Jinchuriki of Shukaku.
Yeah, there's kind of personal stuff between Shukaku and Gaara.
Gaara will not let Madara take Shukaku.
Yeah.
He's fighting with his life to keep Madara from taking him because... Shukaku is his friend, too.
Yeah, and it flashes back. Well, friend.
Well, now a friend.
Yes.
Like, he believes that Shukaku, he owes him a debt.
Maybe not even friend, it's just he doesn't want Shukaku to die.
Yeah.
You know, he's willing to protect him.
Yeah.
And it goes back to when Shukaku and Garu first met, and Shukaku warns him that if you ever fall asleep, I'm just going to take over and kill everybody.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what fucked Garu up for life.
Yeah, that is why Gaara was so incredibly messed up when we first met him.
And then we also see the previous Jinchuriki who just called himself Shukaku because he didn't need a name anymore. He, like, gave himself up to being a Jinchuriki.
Was that the previous one or, like, a previous one?
I think this was the previous one.
Yeah, I think that this was the very previous one.
They made references to a priest being the previous one, and this guy's a priest, so...
Okay. So they lock him up forever because him being out is too dangerous.
Yeah, and so he just sits there and meditates all day. He doesn't fall asleep to give Shukaku any chance to get out. And he talks with Shukaku quite a bit within his own head about humanity and all that stuff.
And on each hand, he has, on his right hand, he has the kanji for heart, and the left hand, he has the kanji for receive.
And he puts his hands together.
Yeah. After, like, you know, telling Shukaku that, you know, one day he'll meet someone that will want to give him the same kind of love.
I also like the moment where... Oh, go ahead, Greg.
And that is what the kanji on Gaara's forehead says, if memory serves, is love.
Yeah.
Receive heart, or whatever.
I like the moment of Shukaku telling the old man, you remind me of the Sage of Six Paths, and, like, a single tear comes down, and the old man starts crying, saying, you've humbled me.
That's, like, the nicest thing anyone said to him.
Yeah.
So, Shukaku remembers all this, and he's talking to Gaara, saying, you know, there was a time where I loathed you. Gaara's like, well, yeah, but... Or Gaara was saying that he hated Shukaku, sorry.
Yeah.
And
But it was
he...
thanks to him he was able to meet Naruto, therefore he'll always be thankful.
He is Naruto's Onodera.
Yeah.
So as Madara is trying to attack Gaara, Shukaku puts his absolute defense in front of Gaara to save him. And then starts fighting back against him.
And it looks like they break one of the chains that's on Shukaku, but not both.
Yeah. He still has the one around his neck, I think.
And then, what is it, shortly after that, that the big tree monster starts sucking in all of the Jinchuriki.
And,
yeah, that's the next part.
Kurama calls over Gaara and, you know, basically says he needs a favor, and then, like we predicted, spits out Naruto.
Yeah, so Naruto is without Fox powers, right? Now.
And he seems kind of crazy, and he has that crazy eyes. He has JoJo's Bizarre Adventure eyes.
He has, like, shocked, don't know what's happening. He has eyes that is, like, the Naruto equivalent of Luffy's reaction when Ace died.
Yeah. So, I feel like our guess is pretty close that he's going to have to get the fox out of his dad.
You know, I think Kurama plans to get in there and work from the inside. So that's why he's spitting Naruto out.
Yeah, but
or something like that. But anyway, the favor, I'm guessing, is, you know, Naruto is kind of flying out there with no way to land, so
yeah.
he needs to get caught.
Yeah. Hey, kid, catch.
Thanks, Mean Joe Green.
Wow, I've always wanted one.
But yeah, there wasn't a whole lot happening. Like, a lot of good action, but in terms of, like, things actually straight up happening.
It looks like the cliffhanger is where the plot starts moving again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like they continue to be chained, and now something happened.
Okay, I noticed they actually did straight up set this up where, like, Gaara goes flying, and Shukaku protects him with the absolute defense. So that's probably how they're going to save Naruto.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Just another chapter. We're kind of still right where we left off, except...
Did we talk about that Kishimoto said that Naruto's basically ending?
Yeah, we brought it up a few times.
Okay.
He keeps saying it, though, so...
Yeah, he's been saying it for at least a year and a half.
Yeah, so the when is the question. And it turns out it's actually a lot closer than we think. Madara wins.
Yeah. Whoop.
And then it turns out he's a super benevolent ruler, and he's just like, this is what was on the tablet. Did nobody read it? I'm fine. At least three of you.
I'm fine with ninjas, but I don't really like war, so...
So, you know, I just hypnotized everybody, and hey, no more war. Everything's happy. I mean, come on.
I met this old priest that, like, showed me about love. Really interesting.
It'd be a hilarious ending if the bad guy wins, and it's like, and he was a really benevolent ruler, and there was no more wars, and life was pretty good after he took...
I feel like there was a gag manga that ended that way. Was it Bobobo?
Did Bobobo in that way? I can see it doing that.
That seems like the sort of thing that Bobobo would do.
It's like, Kefka wins, and he's really nice.
I mean, that like that's kind of what S-Class is.
Yeah, more or less.
The main villain is the benevolent leader.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the S-Class anime.
Oh, yeah, we did. I meant to bring that up and talk about the manga.
Oh, the OVA is out there now.
Yeah, you could probably find it subbed or raw or whatever.
YouTube, whatever. But it covers the Kyoto. Yeah, class.
Yeah, when they're on the class vacation.
So the strangely rapey part, and then Red Eye.
The Red Eye part was real good.
Yeah. Well, even the kidnapping part was good, too.
They got a woman to voice Nagisa, and, like, you know how women sometimes, like, they'll have the normal voice, and they'll have the kid voice? Like, she just does the normal voice.
Yeah, Nagisa just sounds like a lady.
Yes.
And looks and moves like a lady, so the author is in on the joke, I guess. Or maybe we were just slow on picking up the joke. And Koro-sensei sounds different than I thought he would. He's much more normal. I figured he'd have like a really high-pitched, kind of bubbly voice.
But he kind of sounds like not evil Orochimaru to me.
Just kind of like slightly nasally.
Yeah. Well, I like his laugh a lot, too.
But I recommend it's, what, 40 minutes long? It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, if you've read the arc and you can't track down subs, it's... pretty understandable.
I'm not sure I love the animation style, though. Like, the kind of pastel-y shading on everything.
Yeah, it's different from the manga, but I think
usually
it could probably work out pretty well.
I think they were just trying something out.
Yeah. But it does seem like if they're going to do an anime, and it seems like they will, that it would work fine with that.
Yeah. Okay, last but not least, One Piece.
Yep.
Snowman. Where,
yeah, they're all building snowmen, and Robin looks really weird.
She always looks weird.
She's, like, tiny here.
She looks especially, like... She looks like... Honestly, she looks kind of like Togashi in this.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I thought it was Togashi at first.
Shiki. Yeah.
Sorry.
Like, in a lot of these pictures, like, Robin's only distinguishing characteristic is she's the woman without orange hair. That's how you find her in the picture.
So the best part of this picture is that Brooke is building a snowman or snow woman with boobs, and Sanji's trying to offer up bigger boobs.
Yes. He's got bigger ones.
He's like, hey, what if we did this? Like, look at Brooke's face. He's like...
Also, the snowman has Nami's hair. So, although she seems pretty cool with it. Yeah, it's a fun picture. I like it when they do these kind of pictures.
Yeah. One Piece hasn't been fun, like, you know, at least this arc, I don't think.
It's just silly?
There have been moments in this arc where it was fun with the fairies and stuff.
Like, the last time I can remember it being, like, straight up fun was the, God, what were their names? The guys who insisted on that game before they met Aokiji.
The Davy back fight?
Yeah, that. Like, that was, like, whimsical and fun.
I don't know. Thriller Bark was pretty silly.
It was. Yeah, I would say
so. Do you remember when Luffy pushed that zombie back into the grave and said, they're there?
There were portions of Shibati Archipelago, which was also kind of whimsical and fun when they first got there.
I don't think they've done it in the New World, basically.
Yeah, a little too much serious business.
Yeah.
We'll get there. So, this week it's, hey guys, the tournament.
We're introduced to some new people.
I was so worried as I started reading this chapter. I was like, no, 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 each page.
Yeah.
Oh, we were past this, no.
Thankfully, he shows some restraint after a couple of pages.
So we are introduced to Suleiman, the beheader.
Suleiman, yeah.
Who cares? And Orlumbus, who cares?
And, you know, Mask Damask, I mean, Pyromaniac Damask.
I think Sorcerer Mummy's kind of cool, but kind of wasted for a design that we're just never going to see again.
I like to think that his name isn't just Mummy, it's just Sorcerer Mummy. Like, he's like those really generic action figures you'd get. We also see Cavendish is still in the race.
Yeah. And Rebecca's still there as well.
Yeah. So, cuts back down to the...
I want to point out real quickly, though, that Pyromaniac Damask is blowing out a weird smoke. Or fire smoke thing.
Oh, you're right.
And we'll get to that later, but...
Yeah. Okay. So, downstairs, Usopp's freaking out.
Because he think, like,
they think
want
it's
him
all up to
lead.
Him.
Yeah. Like, well, the entire plan hinges on him knocking out the girl, Sugar. And since he's, you know, a descendant of Norland, this should be really easy for him.
Which, this is amusing me also because it's not like Norland was this great fighter either, you know?
He was somebody that, like, encouraged legends pretty well.
Yeah. He was an explorer.
It's like
he was their Gulliver.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we thought Magellan could, like, body slam people.
Which, I mean, that's what... It kind of does make Usopp kind of the same thing. He is, in a lot of ways, the successor to Norland.
Yeah.
So anyway, a couple of workers/guards find Usopp, and he freaks out. So the dwarves, jump into action and steal all the clothes. They're like, uh-oh, fairies.
And then they jump
up
in the air.
And then they take them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are apparently super strong.
Like, yeah, we've seen this before.
Yeah, they've established that.
Have they?
Yeah.
When that one stole Zoro's swords and was, like, destroying the ground.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I swear there's some other points where they've, like, shown that they can punch or something like that, too. But,
maybe,
yeah.
But they bury these guys, like, down to their chins in the ground.
Yeah. Burying punches.
Yeah,
so they steal the clothes to give them to Usopp and Robin.
Yeah, who, despite being very different body shapes, the clothes are very snug and cool.
Yeah, one of those is a dress.
Yeah.
For some reason.
They fit quite well.
Yes.
But anyway, Usopp, you know, gets revved up and says he will lead them from the rear.
Now that he knows that they can fight.
I mean, really, for this kind of job, a sniper works out pretty well.
Sneaking around, yeah. Picking out people from a distance.
Yeah. I think Usopp is going to be the one that takes out Sugar.
Yeah, then we get a cut to Soldier One Leg, who's sneaking around the dock.
Well, he's currently hiding in a box with the other dwarves on a lift, and on the lift, since Frankie is making such a big deal, all these soldiers are coming in and out of the lift trying to get up to where Frankie is, because they want the bounty for getting him.
I do enjoy that even Soldier One Leg is calling him Fraland.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure he actually knows his name, Frankie.
Well, I don't think that any of them have been introduced to them any other way.
Because the soldiers are constantly in that elevator, Soldier One Leg and the dwarves can't get out.
Yeah.
So Soldier One Leg just goes and starts beating the crap out of all of the soldiers.
Yep.
It turns out he's an amazing fighter.
Well, he would be. He's the former champion of the arena. Whoops.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
I think they should have said that he was in the arena.
Yeah, no, they haven't established that at all yet, although this is the chapter where they finally say outright that Rebecca is actually his daughter.
No, they said that before.
No, it's been implied.
No, there was a time where Usopp's oh, it was your daughter, and he's like, yes, or he said it before Usopp could say it out loud himself.
It was like the end of one of those flashback chapters.
Oh, yeah. I really thought that it was implied, but not actually explicitly said.
I'm pretty sure it was explicitly said, but
yeah.
It shows them going back and training. And I guess Soldier One Leg also has the prediction hockey.
Maybe it's genetic.
They make note of the fact that they can't hit him. And he's just dodging all their attacks. So he starts, you know, trying to encourage her to bring out the hockey in herself. And she's like, no, you just need to protect me my whole life. He says that one day he's going to break down and toys don't last as long as the children they belong to do. So basically, they Toy Story 3 this flashback.
That's a good way of putting it. Someday Rebecca's going to grow up and go to college.
That would be the best part of this arc, if she gives the box to Sugar or something. This one's Soldier One Leg. He's a mean old soldier.
Yeah, the chapter ends with Soldier One Leg going, I am Rebecca's father. So, the one with the flashbacks.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
726. Yeah, so... It has been stated.
So the soldiers in the elevator ask Soldier One Leg what he wants. And he says he wants a peaceful country where his child can live on, and for the Riku family to return to the royalty.
And then they're all just like, the Riku family?
Then they cut to back to the Colosseum, where smoke has covered the arena and nobody is standing up.
Yeah, everybody is passed out.
Which is why I thought it was interesting that when he saw the pyro guy, there was smoke coming out of his mask. Which may just be like fire smoke, but...
Well, thinking that he's going to be the person who survived?
I think it's a possibility.
He's face down right below Rebecca's picture. Next to Funny Mummy or whatever his name was.
Yeah, I don't think it's... looking at it now, it doesn't appear to be that it looks like a knockout gas or anything. Like, everyone looks legitimately damaged.
Yeah.
Like, Cavendish is torn up. And Rebecca's mask was knocked off.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're calling off the tournament via fists or something.
Or somebody just going to stand up, like...
Like, you think maybe it's going to be that, what's his name, the Admiral is calling an end to things, and this is the gravity fruit power?
Maybe, I don't know.
I think this is a good way for Rebecca to lose this block without getting hurt.
Because, I mean, we see Cavendish knocked out, we see Rebecca, who else...
It's got to be Cavendish or Rebecca is going to get to their feet.
Yeah.
And whoever loses...
I would guess it's one of the two.
The problem we had before was that one of them had to lose, but they couldn't die or really get hurt or turn into a toy. And this would be a good way for that to happen.
It is interesting when the announcer says, I've heard of this happening before. Everyone getting knocked out at the same
Obviously,
time.
Obviously, maybe there's, somebody with the Conqueror's hockey.
Maybe.
Or somebody with, just some ability to do this.
And that Orlumbus guy really looks like Brownbeard.
Yeah, he does. I thought it was, when he was face down.
Yeah.
Oh, is reusing character designs now?
Well, to be fair, he does have a bunch of character designs.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if the Damask guy is a Mankind reference.
Probably.
Because the way his mask looks from the top.
Because there was other wrestling references.
Yeah. I never pegged Oda as a wrestling fan.
Did you guys see what his New Year's resolution was?
What was it, work harder and not die?
He said last year he pushed his body too hard and he feels like he was punished for it, so this year he's going to do it again.
So yes.
Yeah, that was his resolution for the year.
So we're going to see a 4-week One Piece break soon.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, as long as One Piece doesn't sell out their dignity, they got really close to that Gulliver's Travel thing. Really, really close.
Yeah.
But not like, I've seen the bar as low as it can go now, and they're still above that.
You've seen the other side of that coin, and you know where you know how dark it really gets.
Yeah, like that literally bummed me out to see.
Yeah,
Fairy Tail taken to that extent.
Yeah, I remember like being like, "Oh, what could be so?" Oh,
yeah. Like maybe that's the goal, is that you become so successful you don't have to do that. It's like the modeling job of mangaka.
Yeah, I don't know. It just sucks because the character, too, was like one of those.
Yeah.
Like
she was my favorite character in that series.
Kind of a Samus Aran thing going on there of just like strong, powerful female.
But nope, nothing good can last.
Nope, she has boobs, so exploit.
like what Oda's not, you know, innocent of this. Like, look at what Rebecca wears.
Yeah.
But still,
she's a gladiator. That's what gladiators wear, right?
They wear armor, yes. It covers more than their nipples.
I saw some pictures from, I think it was a game or something, but it was someone was talking about like bad female armor, and it was like this woman that's like in a bikini, but she has like arm armor. Like her torso and legs and stuff are just like a bikini.
There is a Tumblr for that, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's like Escher Girls?
Ineffective. No, it's not. It's not about, like, bad proportions or anything. It's just, like, super ineffective lady armor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see the ones, like, I think even, Dragon Age was guilty of this, of, like, full armor, but then there's just, like, a cleavage window cut out of the middle.
Yeah. Morgan, you know, like, she's in the front line of battle.
The actual thing is, like, even if you're talking, you know, actual full plate mail, but it has crafted boobs, that's a terrible design for armor because there is a point in the center, which would be where the focus is all going, so it would push into your chest if you get hit.
Yeah,
I can kind of understand the way Robin and Nami dress, because they don't battle. If they get in battle, it's usually because they're forced to that point.
Also, yeah, they're free spirits, too.
Well, I mean, they're sailors as well. But, like, Rebecca has no excuse.
Maybe that's all she could afford. She's poor. They sell chainmail on an installment plan, and that's all she could get.
Well, she is basically a slave in the Colosseum.
God. Who knows what... I mean, they probably dress her that way, if you think about it.
That's a disturbing thought. 2014 is off not to a good start in...
Let's have less of this throughout the year. Let's have good manga all year.
This is kind of a mixed week, because some stuff was really great and some stuff not so great.
And then, like, Naruto and probably One Piece just kind of, you know, kept on keeping on. Didn't really do super great or super bad.
Nothing broke their stride, but nothing really increased it either.
World Trigger did, but, you know.
Yeah, man, stuff got real, real fast.
Yeah.
Basically, Imran did a thing of, like, you know, within the next 6 months, the enemy could attack us. What's that? Oh, the enemy's attacking us right now.
And then, and it's not just, oh, the enemy is attacking us. It's, you know, entire squads are dying.
Yeah.
Like, they're,
you know,
running out of Tryon and being teleported back out. And it's actually specific, like, the new enemy type is specifically trying to capture their Tryon soldiers.
This arc has really given me a Gantz feel. Just, you know, the people don't actually die when they get their heads chopped in half.
It's a good way to circumvent censorship.
It is. It's like, just imagine in Gantz if it was just like an online game, but it had all the same gore. That's basically what World Trigger feels like.
I'm enjoying it a lot.
So manga, yay. Here's to 2014.
Yep.
Oh yeah, and I did think of one housekeeping-ish thing, I guess. which is just the reminder that Space Dandy is on Toonami.
I haven't seen it. I hear they edited it,
and I see people being mad about
it. The complaint that everybody is going about, and I am not kidding with this, is in the Japanese translation, he tells one of the waitresses to guess what his job is and says it begins with a U in Japanese, and it's because he is an alien hunter and the word for alien starts with U in Japanese, and she guesses a maggot, and that also begins with U. And then his response to it is, that's not a job. And then in the American version, he says it begins with an A, she guesses asteroid belt, and he has the same reaction. In one of the fan subs, which came out early because some Japanese person leaked it, even though it aired in America before it aired in Japan, they said, an ass? And so everybody is crying censorship because Toonami would never say the word ass for whatever reason. Trying to claim that this is the girl being clever and insulting him and that sort of thing, when none of the characters' reactions in the actual show have any evidence of that.
So
I think if she had said an ass and like that was supposed to be the actual intended line, that makes the show sound way more interesting than like either an asteroid belt or a maggot.
I agree with you, but that's not what it was. And
yeah,
so the
like,
fact
I'm just
that
disappointed
the,
in that show now.
Yeah,
just a poor translation.
The fact that the, you know, fan sub went in one direction and then the actual show went in a different one and went with the joke of what the original joke was, and people are crying that, oh, this is a terrible translation, the dub is horrible.
I think I'm probably still watching it in Japanese regardless, so it doesn't particularly matter to me.
I hear it's good, though.
Yeah,
it's weird, it's entertaining, and it would fit in with our conversation about, you know, fan service and that sort of stuff. But
here it has some kind of weird Cowboy Bebop connection or something.
Well, I don't know if it ties in or not. It's kind of, at this point, I would say Cowboy Bebop crossed with Excel Saga.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It is, it's weird.
Well, anyway.
All right.
Episode.
Let's end this first episode of 2014.
Hooray.
All right, this has been your Friday, January 10th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Bye. We'll see you all next week. So we've got shitloads of things to talk about. Oh, shit, I accidentally closed Beach.
Whoops, guess we don't have to talk about it.